Anne B. Ross is in the studio with me tonight. Many of you will recognize her as the author of the New York Times bestselling Miss Julia series. In her latest book, she's chosen to focus on another character from that series, and the title of the book will give it away. It is Etta Mae's Worst Bad Luck Day. Anne, I'm delighted to welcome you to Around Cincinnati.
Thank you so much. It's wonderful to be here.
I would love it if you would introduce us to Etta Mae by reading the first couple of paragraphs of this book.
Sure. Just so you'll know, my name's Etta Mae, Etta Mae Wiggins. Granny always says it doesn't matter what your name happens to be, it's how you act that counts. I know what everybody thinks when they hear Wiggins. They think lazy, shiftless, no account, backwoods trailer trash. But they'd be wrong about that last part, because none of us ever lived in a trailer, except me, but only because Bernie Whitlow, my number two ex, bought me one when we got married. And that's where I still live, out off Springer Road and Hillendale Trailer Park, a couple of miles from Delmont, and right by myself, too, ever since I kicked Bernie out. Regardless of where you live, trailer or mansion or somewhere in between, and regardless of what Granny says, names do count. They tell who you are, where you've come from, and what you've made of yourself, all in one word. I could have called myself Etta Mae Taggart, or Etta Mae Whitlow, or Etta Mae Conard, since I've been, or intend to be, one or the other at various times of my life. In between, though, I've always gone back to Wiggins, and I don't know why, unless it's because I figured I had to start at the bottom all over again each time.
Thank you. I want you to tell us more about this character, because she's so easy to like. So just tell us some of her characteristics, if you would.
Well, I had to slowly learn Etta Mae herself. When she first appeared in the Miss Julia books, it was the second Miss Julia book, and she was purely a secondary, maybe a tertiary character. I had no intentions of ever using her again. Her function in that book was to come in as a handy home helper and help Sam after he had broken his leg getting out of a fishing boat. And her purpose in that book was to make Julia jealous, because she pets and carries on over Sam, calls him, "Oh, you old sweet thing, you," and it just runs Julia up a wall. And so I did not think I would ever have use for her again, and did not do a whole lot with her name. I might have chosen a better name if I'd known what she was going to become, but I didn't. And then suddenly she was there in the third book, and then again in the fourth book, and then finally when Miss Julia and Little Lloyd go to Florida after jewel thieves, and that's in the book Miss Julia Strikes Back. They really need some help, and Hazel Marie is off somewhere with Mr. Pickens. So Little Lloyd says, "Let's call Etta Mae." And so they do, and Etta Mae is thrilled because she gets to fly over Disney World to get to Palm Beach. And that's the most favorite place in the world to her, and she's never been there. But she goes down and she helps Miss Julia, and gradually they become involved in several other adventures. And you see, Miss Julia did not think much of her at first. And Etta Mae didn't think much of Miss Julia either. She was sort of in awe of her. But because they were thrown together, the relationship just evolved, and I realized mine was evolving too. And it just struck me all of a sudden how important she had become to the entire series, and that she also had a story to tell. And so that's kind of how it came about.
Oh, interesting. Well, she's a good-looking woman, and she's proud of her profession, isn't she? She's proud that she has gotten some training, and she's really forward-thinking in her life. So, as you mentioned, she's a handy home helper.
Mm-hmm.
And who is she caring for in this novel?
Nobody in particular. She is one of these that has a list of patients, the shut-ins and the elderly and so on, or people coming home from the hospital. And so she will see one for an hour or so each day. But you're talking about Mr. Conard.
Yes.
Okay, he's on her list. to see once or twice a week, and their relationship has evolved too, you might say.
Yes.
Mr. Conard has got more life in him than anybody thinks he does.
He's had a stroke, so yeah. Half of him is paralyzed, but she puts the life back in his eyes,
doesn't she?
Tell us about his family.
There's Junior Conard, and I really think she might have gotten around him, or he might have come to some agreement with her, but he shows up because he hears that his daddy is about to marry this gold digger, and he shows up and fires her so she can't come back and see him. But the real problem is Junior's wife, who is a television anchor person. And then, of course, Junior Conard shows up at her trailer and has his head bashed in, and everybody thinks she did it, but of course she didn't. A lot of things go on.
Yes. There's a whole other storyline there, which is also interesting with some folks from her past. It's interesting to hear you describe your relationship with Etta Mae, because reading this, I certainly had the sense that you have great affection for this character.
Oh, I do. Yeah.
Well, and that inspires us to have affection for her. Yeah. So I'm wondering, is she a creation solely from your imagination? Do you ever take a bit of this and a bit of that from people in real life?
I think I do, but I can't say specifically. She just appeared full-blown in my mind. But then I can look and think, well, I've seen somebody do that or whatever, you know. And it's hard to describe how these characters come about. When I need one, they're just there.
What do you want readers to take away from your books? Or maybe an even better question is, what kind of feedback do you get?
Oh, I love to open my email and see who has said what. Obviously, people love Miss Julia, but the feedback I've gotten from this book, my favorite is this woman said, "I laughed while I read it and cried when it was over."
Oh.
And I thought that said it all. But some are very surprised that it's a little racier, raunchier, I don't know the word, than the Miss Julia books, and they're very surprised. One woman wrote and she said, "Well, because of all the ugly words, this book will not go on my Christian bookshelf, but I laughed all the way through it." But listen, I want to tell you and tell your audience, this book is tame. Tame
yes,
by the usual standards.
Yes, I would not describe it as raunchy at all. Tell us what you're working on next. Ooh. Is there going to be more focus on Etta Mae?
Well, I don't know yet. I'm waiting to hear from my editor whether we'll do any more Etta Mae books or not. But I am working on, let me think, either the 16th or the 17th, I've lost count, Miss Julia book. And my deadline's the 1st of September, so that it can be on the shelves in early April 2016. And the name of it is Miss Julia Inherits a Mess. She finds out that she's been named executor of somebody's will, and the will gives out more bequests to more beneficiaries than the estate has. So she's in for time.
We will look forward to that. It's been delightful to visit with you tonight.
This has been lovely for me. Thank you.
I've been talking with Anne B. Ross about her latest book, which is titled Etta Mae's Worst Bad Luck Day. You'll find more information about it at wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. I'm Barbara Gray.